So the short version is that these are words that speak to your subconscious. These are words that speak to that part of your brain where we're trying to actually get someone to make a decision. And what's even more important than the definition of magic words is how to use them, in the sense that if we are having a conversation, one of the biggest mistakes salespeople make is they accept face value of what a customer says, in the sense that rather than digging deep and learning more about why they feel the way they feel or what their objection is, they just simply reply to the objection. And the problem is that misalignment between the real issue and the underlying cause of why they're saying what they're saying, and maybe the possible remedy to solve that problem, and what they just said are oftentimes two very different things.
You are listening to Elevate, the official podcast of Elite Agent for real estate industry sales professionals, property managers, and leaders. Each episode, we bring you the best minds in business and real estate to help you list more, sell more, and elevate your results. To connect with all things Elite Agent, including the latest news, coaching, and features, subscribe at our website, eliteagent.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Elevate Podcast, where we delve into some of the most interesting minds in business and in real estate to give you the tips and strategies to help you to elevate your business. I'm Samantha McLean, editor of Elite Agent and host of this week's show. But this week we are changing things up a little bit, and I'd like to welcome back to the podcast our publisher, Mark Edwards.
Thank you very much, Sam.
It's awesome to have you here. This is where it all began, actually, just you and me.
It did. Over 100 episodes ago, we thought we'd give this podcasting thing a crack. And I'll tell you what, how much fun has it been?
It has been super fun because I've met a lot of interesting people along the way. And I guess, you know, I've been togging the limelight a bit myself. So
you have. Look, the people that you've spoken to over the last, you know, sort of 100 odd episodes, and looking at the schedule to come, there are some great names on there, and it's pretty exciting times.
Absolutely. And you do have a voice for radio.
Well, thank you very much.
I could be biased, right?
So who we got on the podcast this week?
So this week we've got Jimmy Macken from Curator, and I'm super excited about this podcast, as I am about a lot of the podcasts we do. But I've known Jimmy for a lot of years, way back before Elite Agent even started. He's partners with a guy called Chris Smith, who I've known for a while as well. They're what I'd call marketing technology guru. So, you know, everyone talks about prop tech and then they talk about fintech, which is, you know, finance technology. Well, there's this other group called MarTech, like it's like marketing prop tech technology, if you can sort of roll it all into
one.
Chris is an author. Chris has written several books, but Jimmy and Chris partnered up with this guy from the UK by the name of Phil M. Jones. And Phil M. Jones wrote this audiobook that went viral a couple of years back called Exactly What to Say for Salespeople.
I must admit, I've listened to it. It's one of those listens where you got to think to yourself, is this something for me? And then when you really open your mind to it, it is quite amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. So what they did was they partnered up with Phil M. Jones, who wrote that book for salespeople, and they've written this book now called Exactly What to Say for Real Estate Agents. And so basically there are 30 what they call magic words that will help you close more deals.
So they've niched down what Phil Jones did
for real estate agents. Oh, look, it is an excellent book. Like, I'd kind of read it cover to cover one night, and just like little things that, because sometimes when we're in conversations with people, it's really easy to get defensive about what they're saying to you rather than thinking, well, what's going on behind that? And is there a better question that I can ask? Because, as you know, he or she who asks the most questions is in control of the conversation. So we know that, right?
We do.
So basically, this book is about using words to ask better questions, to elicit better responses, to allow you to progress deals, open minds, all sorts of things like that. And I'll give you an example. Say there's, you know, like I've got a listing down the road and you're a buyer, and I'm thinking this house is perfect for this guy, but you don't want to play. And what I might say to you is something like, hey, Mark, there's this 3-bedroom, 2-bathroom apartment down the road. It might not be for you, but would you be open-minded enough to come and have a look at it? Because open-minded is one of those words, right?
No one wants to be closed-minded,
do they? Nobody wants to be closed-minded. And there's lots of examples in this podcast, and there's lots of examples in the book.
But this isn't a book which is all about scripts and dialogues, is it? This is a book about the foundations for asking the right questions and being able to use those 30-odd magical words.
Yeah, it is. And I tell you what, with magic words like this, I think, you know, it also occurred to me that with great power comes great responsibility, because there are some really powerful strategies in this book. And Jimmy and I talk about some of them. And we also do some role plays. Like, he sort of backed me into a corner a couple of times, which I was happy to have happen, because the person who's asking the questions has the power.
Yep.
And really, like, you know, I think with some practice, like, these aren't your regular, you know, are you buying or browsing kind of scripts and dialogues. These are really
foundational.
Foundational. Make a connection, ask good questions.
It sounds like there are a ton of great takeaways in this.
It is. And as usual, I've taken notes, and you know all about the notes and extra and everything.
Yeah. Look, you know, sort of every single episode, we scour over it for all of the golden nuggets, and we put it into an action guide that's available for a few weeks after the podcast goes live. How do we get our hands on the action guide, Sam?
Well, you go to eliteagentelevate.com and put in your email address, and the action guide will come to you via email. Also, so if you want to get all the action guides for the month, so we bundle them up and put them in a newsletter called Extra, which you can do, like, to support the show, and it's also very, very, very cost effective. We have got 10 copies. So for the first 10 people that sign up for Extra this month, we're going to include a copy of Exactly What to Say for Real Estate Agents.
How awesome.
How awesome. So that web address again is eliteagentelevate.com.
Fantastic. All right. Well, I think it's time.
Not much left to do now. On with the show. So welcome to the podcast, Jimmy Mackin.
Hey there. I'm happy to be here. Excited to share with your audience some of the lessons I've learned along the way.
Yeah, awesome. And it's been a while, like, long time no see sort of thing. Mm-hmm. We were in Boston in the fall last year for NAR, and I remember how beautiful it was, you know, with all the like, I understand why Americans call it fall now, because you're walking along and there's, like,
you guys don't have that
color
in Australia.
Well, we're in spring now, and I wish it would warm up. But yeah, we don't have so many trees that shed like that in such a million beautiful colors. You know, because I remember I interviewed you guys, you and Chris, a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it was a lot of years ago now, and tried to catch up with you at NAR, but the line around you guys at Curator was just so long that it made it almost impossible. And I've never seen an expo that size before. Just amazing.
Yeah, well, thank you. No, well, we were really happy to host NAR last year in Boston. It was a great opportunity for every agent to come out here and see what, you know, our city's all about. And funny thing about what you described, that booth, is, you know, the interesting thing that we see when we go to these conferences is, generally speaking, people are just excited to talk to anybody who's sharing advice that they can apply right away to their business. Oftentimes, you go to a conference, and you know this already because you've gone to so many, a lot of it is about predicting the future. But agents are really concerned about, you know, what can I do today to actually grow my business? They're not necessarily concerning about when robots, you know, replace us in 5 years. They just really want to know, what can they do today to grow their business? That's why we're able to attract the audiences we attract, because we sort of solve that problem.
Yeah. And we're going to talk a bit about your book today, which is Exactly What to Say to Close the Deal. And I got to tell you, I posted a photo of my box. So we've got 10 books to give away to our listeners.
Sure.
And there'll be more information on that shortly. I posted that book, and the title is Exactly What to Say to Close the Deal, Exactly What to Say to Win More Listings, Exactly What to Say to Find New Leads, Exactly What to Say to Increase Your Income. Mm-hmm. And I tell you what, that post went nuts. Everyone was saying to me, exactly what do I say to get one of those books? But just for people that don't know you, can you give us a bit of background about Curator and what you and Chris are up to over there? Your office is gorgeous.
Yeah, well, thank you. Just a bit of background about us. You know, we started in 2013. We launched at Inman's Startup Battle on stage in New York City, which is, you know, pretty wild experience. You know, we've spent the last 7-8 years just building a company that helps serve agents. And, you know, as you already know, and your audience may not know, you know, we're in the marketing and sales space. We really kind of cut our teeth getting most agents in the U.S. online, using social media, using Facebook, using Instagram, using YouTube, creating content. What we saw was the trend where the world was moving towards sort of this inbound marketing movement. And we try to bring that value and that coaching to our industry in real estate. And in our experience over the last 8 years, what we realized is that in the early days, what would end up happening is if you would just sort of go online and, you know, advertise on Facebook, you could probably get a little bit of traction. If you had a blog, you would be able to stand out. But what's happening right now is that there's so much competition. There's so much noise out there, and it's only increasing, that at this point, you've got to be really good at what you do. So the table stakes, like I mentioned, Facebook, Insta, YouTube, you know, blogs, all that stuff is required. That's not enough to actually stand out above the competition. So you've got to put yourself in a position where you are actually really good at what you do using those tools, because you're not going to get anywhere if you're just simply using those tools.
But what's great about you guys is you actually do all that for agents, don't you? Mm-hmm. You actually take it all and build a package for them and work out who they're trying to appeal to and move on from there.
Yeah. Well, I think the short version is we do both. We facilitate, meaning we provide the customers with the content they need to post on their own. We provide them with the strategy they need to run their own ads. We provide them with the tactics they need to maybe, you know, use Instagram to stand out. At the exact same time, we provide services on top of that that allow our customers to just sort of offload all that to an expert.
Yeah.
In both of those instances, it really just depends on your needs. So if you're a customer who's, let's say, has a creative brain, loves marketing, but needs guidance and needs a strategy, that's a perfect fit for us. If you're an agent who is just great at what they do, meaning you love sales and you love customer service and you love taking care of your clients, but you want to make sure that you don't neglect your marketing strategies, that's when you can hire one of our experts. So the way we like to think about it is we are services on top of a technology platform. As a curator, we build technology. You know, we at our core are a product first company, but we realize that technology isn't enough. You've got to have strategy. And in some cases, you've got to have people to help you actually use it to grow your business.
I know that you guys are very popular in North America.
Sure.
Do you have any clients here in Australia?
Yeah, we have one client. He owns all of Australia right now for Curator. His name's Wayne Morgan. He actually just flew from Australia to our conference. He's been in the business now for over 40 years.
Wow.
The thing I love about Wayne Morgan, why I'm such a huge Wayne Morgan fan, is because Wayne Morgan's been selling real estate for 40 years. In theory, this guy has seen every single possible scenario imaginable in terms of the types of transactions he's dealing with, the types of customers he's dealing with, the agents he's dealing with. And this guy, and still 40 years in the business, he's going to get mad that I keep saying he's been in business for 40 years because people know how old he is. He gets upset about that. But 40 years in the business, he's still investing in his education. And that just is the mark of a true professional, someone who's willing to invest in their education. Because running a business is hard. If you want to grow, it's going to be hard. If you want to stand out, it's going to be hard. And you've got to make that commitment and investment in yourself to be able to actually stand out in a meaningful way. So Wayne is our only Australian client that I'm aware of. There might be one more that I'm not aware of, but I'm aware of is Wayne Morgan. And he's a guy that I love, works really hard to grow his business, invests in himself, and a guy who's generally just a good guy to be around for sure.
So this book, Exactly What to Say, it has a pedigree in another famous book, doesn't it? Because Phil Jones wrote a book that was just generally for salespeople. So Exactly What to Say to Close a Deal. I think it started as an audio book. It went viral and then it came out in all sorts of different other methods. So how did you meet Phil Jones?
Yeah.
How did you decide that this was what real estate agents really needed?
Well, you know, for us, when we wrote Exactly What to Say for Real Estate Agents, you know, for us, that was the mission we had, was to create a book that would become the standard for our industry. It would be on every desk and every training facility and every brokerage in the country, North America and beyond. We wanted to create Exactly What to Say for Real Estate Agents. We knew that we would have to partner with best in class. And Phil M. Jones is exactly that. Phil M. Jones wrote the book Exactly What to Say, which is a generalized sales book. It now has, I think, roughly around 600,000, 700,000 copies sold, somewhere in that ballpark. Phil Jones has trained over 2 million salespeople personally. He's written a few other books, Exactly How to Sell, Exactly How to Start. And Phil M. Jones is someone that, in my experience, is the premier sales leader in the space today. I think of him as a modern-day Zig Ziglar in every sense. And I truly mean that, because not only does Phil M. Jones talk to you about the exact words to use, which is a critically important, salespeople need to know exactly what to say. But he also provides, I think, the context needed to understand how to expand his knowledge base and apply it in unique ways. In the sense that he isn't just giving you a script and saying, here's what to say. He's explaining and coaching and teaching why. Why does this work? And how is it going to help you get people to actually make up their mind and decide whether they want to hire you or not. I heard a really interesting quote recently, and I agree with this wholeheartedly. In the world that we live in right now, where there's infinite choices, I'm in the marketing and sales space. They call it MarTech. I'm not sure if you knew this. There are 5,000 plus companies who are in my space that sell to all different types of businesses. So for us at Curator to be able to stand out, it's not going to be a feature. It's not going to be a single thing that we do. And it's all of these things that we do are very difficult for us to sort of get through all that noise. So I heard this quote recently that really stuck with me, which was, it's not what you sell, it's how you sell. I think both are true. I think how you sell is actually more important than what you sell. When you're in an industry where there essentially are infinite competitors. Now, if you're in real estate, and I'll come back to Phil in here in a second, but if you're in real estate, you're in an incredibly competitive industry. And generally speaking, what people will say in real estate is, if they're trying to acquire customers, well, I've got a lot of experience. I sell a lot of houses. I've been doing this for a long time. I can help you market your property. I deliver great customer service. Every agent says that. So how do you communicate and exactly what do you say to actually get through the customer where you can break down those barriers and those roadblocks and then hopefully build a meaningful relationship with them? So the reason that we partnered with Phil M. Jones for this book was because we knew in our industry that we were desperate for a new approach to sales. Sales shouldn't be sleazy. Sales shouldn't be misleading. Sales should not be something where it's an argument. And oftentimes when we looked at the landscape, when we looked at the scripts that are out there, we found that the outdated techniques that agents were using were both ineffective and didn't really represent what we felt were the best tactics to use to actually sell appropriately and effectively in 2020.
I agree with you wholeheartedly that agents always keen to know exactly what to say. Mm-hmm. And there's a number of books on scripts and dialogues, and sure, we've still got tapes and CDs out here, would you believe, that agents listen to in their car,
yeah,
about, say, to someone in an open home, are you buying or browsing, you know, that sort of stuff.
Sure, sure.
And to me, like, I've heard this stuff over and over again, and surely consumers must be thinking as well, mm-hmm, oh my God, I've heard that again a million times. And then I read your book,
yep,
very quickly, and I realized that it was very, very different.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you're trying to encourage people to do in the book is have different conversations and use words that act on different areas of the brain.
Sure.
Yeah, the book contains 30 magic words.
Yeah.
So can you define for me what a magic word is?
Yeah, sure. So the short version is that these are words that speak to your subconscious. These are words that speak to that part of your brain where we're trying to actually get someone to make a decision. And what's even more important than the definition of magic word is how to use it. In the sense that if we are having a conversation, one of the biggest mistakes salespeople make is they accept face value of what a customer says. In the sense that rather than digging deep and learning more about why they feel the way they feel or what their objection is, they just simply reply to the objection. The problem is that misalignment between the real issue and the underlying cause of why they're saying what they're saying, and maybe the possible remedy to solve that problem, and what they just said are oftentimes two very different things. And let me give you an example of this. We had a client recently who had a customer who was actually going to relist with another agent. So they were marketing the property for 6 months. The property did not sell. And it was primarily because the market conditions were changing and they had to basically do a price reduction on the property. Property didn't sell. So they sat down to sort of relist with the same agent because the property expired. And when they went to relist the same agent, the couple said to our client, you know, hey, I think we're going to go ahead and enlist with another agent. Now, what would a normal real estate agent say in that scenario? They just spent 6 months working with the agent. The property didn't sell. So I want you to role play with me for a second. If I am the consumer, I said to you, hey, you know what? We're actually going to go ahead and relist with another agent. What would be your response?
Well, my first response is I'm feeling defensive already. So I'm going to say, why?
Yeah.
Although deep down, I kind of know why. It's because I haven't done my job.
Sure. So that feeling you have, if you're listening to this podcast, I want you to sort of just imagine for 1 second, you're in a listing appointment or you're meeting with your client. They're assigned to you, hey, you know what? I'm going to relist with somebody else. Whatever the scenario might be. Maybe it's the beginning of the process before they sign. Maybe it's they're going to relist later on. The initial reaction you have, that gut reaction, is exactly what you said. It is defensive. You immediately go into pitch mode. And so an example would be what? In your case, what would an agent say to maybe try to save the listing? Give me some examples.
We could take another look at the price. We could take another look at the marketing. We could take a look at putting the property on different portals.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be sort of going into solution mode, I guess.
Yeah.
What can we do? Like, you know, I've got a Facebook ad going out. There's some more buyers here.
So you immediately begin to feature dump.
Yep.
And what you realize pretty quickly is those features that you're selling are the same features you sold them on in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
So now they're saying to themselves, well, this feels like it's on rewind. Didn't I hear you already say that you're going to do all these things and they didn't work the first time? So I'll tell you one of the magic words that our client used to actually save the list. And this is the example that really maybe hits home the importance of knowing exactly what to say and how to make it count. She said, after the client had a chance to kind of go through hey, we're going to go ahead and relist with another agent. Again, this is a $1.2 million property. Obviously, at this point, they knew what she did for them. She said, help me understand, what do you think another agent's going to do that I'm not going to do? And then she just shut up. Help me understand, what do you think another agent's going to do that I'm not going to do for you? And they didn't have an answer, clearly, because this agent's super talented. And it's nothing the agent was doing, meaning the agent was doing all the things they're supposed to be doing. They're marketing the property aggressively. They're promoting on social media. The problem is not the agent. The problem is the price. Now, she can't just say, I want you to lower the price and sell the home.
Mm.
She's got to get them to come to that conclusion on their own that, you know what, maybe it's not the agent. Maybe it's my stubbornness and my inability or unwillingness to lower the price. So if you can get out of that defensive position and stop feature dumping and stop explaining to the consumer all the things you're going to do for them and just ask them a question to have to sort of defend their own position, you then can kind of get to where you want to really go with the conversation, which is a mutual, agreed, understandable sort of position. And that's where this agent was able to use one of the phrases in the book to win a $1.2 million listing back that she otherwise would have lost, because she otherwise would have done what you just said, which is she would have immediately got defensive, because that's that natural reaction you have to fight. And that's one of the main sort of use cases, if you will, of the magic words.
Very early in the book, it does talk about that defensive, like when someone throws you an objection, which is, I would like to list with you, but your fee is too high, or...
Let's just stop there real quick.
Yep.
Give me that objection one more time.
I'd love to list with you, Jimmy, but you're just too expensive.
What makes you say that?
Yeah.
Before you answer the question, what makes you say that?
Yeah.
And this is where, well, you know what? They don't have an answer. Like, based off of what? They might say, you know what? A competitor just came in and offered a lower commission or a lower split or a lower fee. Or I saw an advertisement for, you know, a discount broker who was offering it for 1%. I'm not sure if you guys have Redfin in Australia yet, but maybe you will eventually. We have Redfin here. It's a 1% listing fee. So in the US, generally speaking, they charge between 3 and 6% for their listing fee. So you can imagine how difficult it is for an agent to walk into a room and charge 6% commission when Redfin, a national brand, is charging 1%.
Mm.
That's a difficult conversation. That's a 5% swing on a $300,000 property. That's $15,000.
Yeah.
So the consumer has got to see enough value in what you do to want to be able to justify that fee. So in your case, when you say your commission's too high, the appropriate response is, what makes you say that?
Yeah.
In the delivery matters, because what you're trying to do here is you're not trying to win the argument. You're trying to understand the context behind why they feel the way they feel. And then if they were to say, well, I saw, in this case, I saw another agent was listening for 3% or 2%, half their commission, you might say something like, what do you know about the difference between a part-time agent or a discount broker and a full-service agent? And then you can sort of begin to position yourself as that expert and that value add in that conversation. So the simple technique of just clarifying their objection or their roadblock with the question is one of the core principles that we coach in the book to help people understand that you shouldn't take people's objections at face value.
Yeah, I think the common thread with those objections that we've just been role-playing here is each time, instead of getting defensive with me, you've actually just come back with a question.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because it's kind of like interviewing technique. Whoever's asking the questions is in control of the conversation.
That's very perceptive of you. We joke because we thought we could call this book Exactly What to Ask. Because that's basically the principles of the book is asking questions. And you're absolutely right. Whoever is asking the questions is in control of the conversation. So if you're listening to this podcast right now, I want you to write that down because that is the core principle behind what we coach with exactly what to say for real estate agents is whoever is asking the questions is in control of the conversation.
Absolutely. That's a great point. Can we go over a couple of my other favorite words from the book?
Absolutely. And I'll do my best to help kind of provide some context on when you may use some of these magic words.
I love the word open-minded.
Sure.
You know, like, would you be open-minded? So tell me why that double-barreled word is so magic.
Well, you think about it from the perspective of, we know that we can't move someone from a hard no to a yes, but we can move someone from a hard no to a maybe. And the idea is, quite simply, is in the event that you're dealing with someone who's stubborn, who doesn't want to maybe change their mind, maybe they're fixated on a particular type of property and they only want to live in a neighborhood, they only want to have these particular features, and you know for certain that there's literally no properties like this one that have like 4 bedrooms, 3 baths, a pool, a roof deck, you know, overlooking a national, preservation. Like, you know, there's nothing that fits that criteria. So the way you would use the open-minded question, the magic word, would be in the context of when you want to move them from maybe a hard no or a closed position where they're not really open to exploring options to sort of maybe opening the door to maybe some other realistic and viable options. And as you can imagine, you don't experience many people in life who are simply flat out closed-minded. You don't walk around and say, I'm closed-minded. If you ask a large audience of 100 people, how many people here in the audience feel like they're open-minded? Probably 95% of people are going to raise their hands.
Yeah, nobody wants to be closed-minded.
No one wants to be closed-minded. So understand the technique is meant to drive people from a position of no to a position of maybe. A position of, I'm stubborn, I don't want to discuss any other options, I'm fixated on this choice, to a position of, okay, maybe there's some other things that may work considering if they can meet a few of my other criteria on my wish list. So one example might be is if someone is fixated on a neighborhood, or let's take a difficult one like price. Let's say, as an example, you're in a negotiation with a customer during a listing appointment and you're trying to set the price. And in the US, just giving some context for that, what generally happens is that's a price that the consumer usually has a lot of opinions about.
Yeah.
Maybe it's true in Australia
definitely,
too.
Definitely, yes.
You know, my house is the best house in the neighborhood. It's worth $300,000. And it is absolutely the best home because I just painted it recently and that increased the value by 15. Okay. That's the conversations that the agents have here. So as an example, they have a number in their mind and the number in their mind oftentimes is higher than the number that's in your mind because you know the market, you know what's selling.
Universal.
That's pretty universal. That crosses the Atlantic and the Pacific, right? It is a universal theme. So what you can do is knowing that if you price a property properly, it can potentially drive up demand. If you aggressively price a property, you'll get more buyers in there, maybe create a bidding war on the property, get some excitement around the home and sell it for maybe more than you would otherwise. If it's sitting on the market for a long time, we know the price will begin to decline. Studies show that. So one thing you might say is, how open-minded would you be to creating a bidding war for your property? They say, well, I'm open-minded to that. Well, in order for us to do that, we have to discuss the price. What do you know about creating a bidding war for your property? I don't really know how to do that. Well, let me explain. So we're getting some consent from the consumer, like they're willing to listen to our advice. So for your audience, the thing I want them to remember here is that when you're dealing with a difficult client who is stubborn, doesn't want to basically give you an inch, using the magic word, how open-minded are you, can open that door to some progress in that relationship. You might not get you all the way there, but it can start moving that conversation forward in the right direction.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that one. And the other one that I really loved, I mean, I loved all of them too. It's really hard to just pick a couple, but the just imagine one.
Sure.
The bit in the book that I really loved is that if people can't see themselves doing something, it's going to be a hard no. Mm-hmm. So can you explain a little bit with maybe an example of how that one works?
Yeah, well, we know a couple things about storytelling, which is the first thing is storytelling, generally speaking, is far more memorable than just simply giving facts. And we also know that consumers live in a world today where they're really only interested in their own best interest. And there's actually something happening on the marketing side that we study here at Curator. And this is this trend happening where people are Googling really obscure things that are good fits for them. So as an example, people in the US are Googling things, what's the best toothbrush for me? As if Google knows what toothbrush is right for you. But people want to know, what's the right thing for me? So what's the best? What's the right for me? So you have to understand two very basic ideas. The first is by using stories and storytelling, you're going to be able to have a higher impact with the way you communicate. And the second thing is that consumers now are becoming used to and accustomed to deeply personalized solutions for themselves. We no longer are living in a world where everything is sort of one size fits all. We're now living in a world where everything feels to be personalized for you, the individual. So as it relates to Just Imagine, the example that Phil gives in his original book, Exactly What to Say, talks about Once Upon a Time, where it sort of gets you into that mode where you sort of sit back and relax and get excited to sort of learn about this new world. You can't use that, obviously, in the adult context unless you want to be a total weirdo starting a conversation off with Once Upon a Time. But the adult equivalent, the professional equivalent of that is Just Imagine. Now, what's really required to make this one hit home and to have a high impact is for you to go back when you're doing that discovery call with the consumer to make sure you understand and deeply can quantify and clarify what the value they're looking to get from the transaction. What are the features they're looking to have and why? Why do they want a big family room? Because maybe they do like family night on Thursdays with their extended family, their cousins and their brothers and their sisters, and everyone comes over. So having a place where they can all experience that moment together is a big moment for them. So you have to understand, what are those emotional triggers that the consumer has that really is going to drive their buying decision? And then when you use the Just Imagine, what it's going to be like hosting your entire family in this beautiful, large, you know, family room, they can sort of see it themselves. And if they can see it, they can feel it and they can believe it, and they're going to make a decision on it.
Yeah, there are two more powerful words in the dictionary than Just Imagine, because as you were talking about that home then, I was kind of picturing myself in it.
Yeah, so sure.
If you can get your customer there, then more power to you. Mm-hmm. So the thing with all words, whether they're magic words or otherwise, you really can't just pick up the book either and just memorize the words. In the book, you guys talk extensively about, well, let me give you another example. I was watching a video with Phil M. Jones a couple of days ago just to get familiar with the subject matter. And he gave the example of, because some agents don't like scripts and dialogues, you've got to make them sound natural. And he says, has anyone ever cried during a movie?
Mm-hmm.
That's a script. That's because an actor was following a script and the script worked.
Mm-hmm.
So once you've read the book, how do you make it so that, not that you're an actor, because that's not what anyone wants. Everyone wants agents to be professional and trusted and all that sort of thing.
Sure.
What do you do once you've got the book and you've got the power in your hands?
Well, the thing that we coach, the thing that Phil had pioneered is, you're not looking for perfect, you're looking for better. So let's make sure that your audience understands this. We're not looking for perfect, we're looking for better. And if you think about sales is what we refer to as a chain link system. And what I mean by that is that there are several phases of the sales process. And if any one of those phases you struggle with, then that's going to immediately bring you down to the lowest common denominator. So as an example, you have prospecting, you have discovery, you have appointment setting, you have appointments, and you have closing. And then, of course, you have servicing. Let's say you are world class at every other part of the process except prospecting. Well, you're never going to get in front of enough people to close enough business to be able to sustain a successful, you know, business if you don't solve that one problem. So whereas you might be world-class at discovery and having a deep conversation to understand their needs, at setting an appointment, at actually showing up at a listing appointment, doing a great job, and actually closing them, if you're not good at prospecting, then you're only going to go as far as your lowest common denominator or the weakest link. So one of the things your audience has to understand in terms of taking the words in this book and applying it is they have to look at their sort of current sales process. Starting at the very beginning, which is prospecting, which is making that initial contact with individuals, to appointment setting, to that discovery call, to the actual listing appointment, and then, of course, the closing, they have to go through and be self-aware enough to say, where am I really struggling? Where do I feel like I'm the weakest? And if you're going to apply the words and the lessons you're learning in the book, I would try to pick two or three of the areas that you really struggle with. Maybe the area you struggle with the most is that prospecting piece. And we have something in the book we refer to as opening fact question, which is the right way to start any sales call, which is opening, you introduce yourself. Hi, my name is Jimmy. I'm calling with Remax. Or in this case, you guys have EXP in Australia now. Hey, this is Jimmy Mackin. I'm calling with EXP. What is the fact, the reason I'm calling? Okay. the reason I'm calling you, and I might even say the reason I'm calling you, because I want them to know instantly, I have a reason to call you. The reason I'm calling you is because you inquired about 56 Main Street, and I wanted to make sure I got back to you quickly about this property. And then you ask a question. And the key here is you have to ask an open-ended question that's easy to answer. So what most people would say is, did you like anything about the home? Well, that's a really difficult question to remember because this person was online looking at a bunch of homes. They don't really remember 56 Main Street. So you have to ask a question like, was that the only home you were looking at? And they're going to say, no, it really wasn't the only home I was looking at. And then you could say, okay, let me follow up with a few more questions related to that. You know, you're trying to ask them a question that is easy to answer, but then can start a conversation. And in most instances, what ends up happening is with the prospecting phase is that we're so eager to like get past it that we don't sort of slow down and maybe think about the approach. So to answer your larger question, how do we take the book and how do we apply it in a meaningful way to our business to help us grow? The short answer is scope out the entire sales process. Where do you struggle with the most? Is it the listing appointment? Is it the prospecting? Is it the closing? Do you get the end of a sales presentation? Do you say, you know, so what do you think? Like, if that's what you said at the end of a sales presentation, let's how start there. Yeah. Like, yeah. Are we good? Are we ready to move forward? Right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You've got to take that in consideration. So my advice to your audience would be figure out parts of the sales process you struggle with the most, figure out why, and then use the book and use the words in the book to help make those parts of the conversation better. It's not about perfection. It's about progress.
Yeah. Good advice. Just another question with the book. So we've talked a lot about the face-to-face conversation.
Sure.
And I know your specialty is marketing. So do these words work over the phone? And let's say, well, let's go over the phone first.
Sure. Yeah. Generally speaking, the tone and the enthusiasm you have over the phone is going to dramatically improve the performance of any sales call. So let's just assume that you're enthusiastic and let's assume that you have a good tone. Because without those things, that doesn't make a difference what you say. If you sound like a Debbie Downer or you're depressing to listen to, ain't no one going to pick up the phone and I want to talk to you. So let's just assume you've got those qualities. The words do matter. And oftentimes we overlook that. The words do matter. So it certainly does work over the phone. Now, here's the thing. This is my personal opinion and my advice for your audience. You guys have soccer in Australia. We have American football. I am not sure how rugby even works in Australia, but let me just give an American football analogy because it's important because I think everyone can understand this. So your job is in American football is to go from, you know, the 20-yard line, 25-yard line when you get the ball to the end zone without any marketing. If you do no marketing, you are starting at the 25-yard line every single time. You are going to have to drive that conversation all the way down to the field, all the way to the closing. With marketing, you're going to start at the opposing 25-yard line, or more likely in the red zone, where you're actually very close to the end of the sales process. And what I mean by that is that the consumer is going to already know who you are. They're going to have some level of brand recognition. They're going to have shown some level of intent. With marketing, you can move the conversation forward all the way down the field. So the sales conversation is slightly warmer, slightly more personal. If you're spending all of your time having to market yourself on a sales call, you're doing it wrong. You need to invest in marketing. And exactly what to say for real estate agents, we don't talk about marketing because the book is about sales. But at Curator, we talk a lot about marketing. And we believe that marketing should drive sales. And marketing should help you actually acquire leads, nurture leads, and then get the leads to want to do business with you. We have an expression here called attract, don't chase. So from a sales perspective, two concepts that I want your audience to understand. The first is, yes, the words will work over the phone. You have to have tone. You have to have enthusiasm. You have to have the right attitude. And the words really do matter. But if you're really trying to talk to people who are interested in buying and selling a home, you've got to pair it with some marketing. And that's obviously what we obsess over at Curator, is saying, here's some innovative marketing strategies and effective sales strategies to help grow your business.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't agree more. You know, I love your football analogy. I remember in a previous career, we used to say marketing is about getting the ducks to come and sales is about catching the duck, like because the duck's sitting.
Catch ducks in Australia?
Yeah. If the duck's not sitting, marketing hasn't done its job. Well, you know, no, we don't. But we don't wear helmets playing football either. But So yeah, okay, let's wrap it up with a few marketing tips, because I know, sure, I know you guys are such experts, and this is probably building on the interview I did with you 6 or 7 years ago. Mm-hmm. Can you believe it's that long? And
I know.
Yeah. With social media marketing and things like that, and even with listings on, I mean, we have realestate.com.au here and domain.com.au. We have different portals, you know, you have Zillow and Trulia and things like that. A lot of real estate marketing looks the same. Can you differentiate yourself by using different magic words in your real estate ads?
What do you think agents know about the reasons why consumers hire them as real estate agents?
Mostly because they could do a better job at selling the property than they could. And because you want someone to be your negotiator. Like, you know, actually I had a real estate agent in here last week who was selling his property, and I said to him, are you going to sell your own property? And he said, no way. I'm going to leave it for someone else in the office to do, so that I can stand back and be impartial and let someone else do the negotiating on my behalf.
And that's a big factor for agents. They sort of lean into the negotiation skills. They lean into their marketing skills. They lean into sort of their experience. Okay. It's a lot like the US. So in this particular case, as it relates to the question, which is how do agents stand out in a crowded market? Very simple. One of the best articles that every single person on your podcast should go read is Harvard Business Review did a study called the 30 Elements of Value. It built on top of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And they talk about the things that consumers value, meaning what are they willing to pay money for? More importantly, what are they willing to pay premium for? And if you look at that list, what you'll see are things like convenience, speed, right? Money. But if you look deeper, they want a sense of a belonging. They want a sense like they're making the right decision, like their purchase says something about them personally. And from a marketing perspective, the way that you can convince consumers in a crowded market to pay a premium for your service, when objectively there's lots of other people doing the same thing that you're doing, it's one word, it's brand. You need to invest incredibly heavily in building brand recognition. And there's lots of different definitions of brand. Some of my favorites from my friend Mark Davidson from Thousand Watt Consulting says, a brand is something that when you put it on something, it's worth more money, which is very true. Meaning you have two cans of soda, put a Coca-Cola sticker on it, it's going to be worth more than the generic version. But I think about brand just in the simple context of brand is an emotional connection a consumer makes that helps them justify their buying behavior. Because we all like to think our decisions are made by our rational brain. They're not. They're made by our emotional brain. Whereas the rational brain is sometimes consulted in the decision, it is an emotional decision first and foremost. So for your audience, they have to think about what is the emotional connection they want consumers to have with their brand that would justify hiring them over every other agent. Now, the key to developing a great brand is far too many things again to this podcast to kind of go through every step. But I will say one thing. What I find to be the most important thing is something, again, my friend Mark Davidson talks about, which is this belief, this opinion, this worldview, which is you believe that the consumer should experience something, some level of service, some level of quality. So all of your marketing has to align around that common goal, which is I believe in five-star experience. I believe in aggressive expert negotiation. I believe in innovative marketing. These are things that people believe in their bones, but oftentimes fail to translate in a marketing campaign. So you have to define what those things are first or foremost, and that's going to help the consumer make an association with your brand. So for me, to answer your question, it's a long way of answering the question, but to answer your question, it really is all about brand. And most agents think they have a brand, but they don't. If you have a brand, people have an emotional connection to the service that you're offering, and they're willing to pay a premium. If that is not happening every single day in your business, you don't have a brand and you need to focus on building one. And guess what happens? If you got a strong brand and you know exactly what to say, your business is going to grow because of it.
Boom. Exactly. Just a couple of other questions just about marketing in general for you, Jimmy, before we close out.
Sure.
When we last spoke, you were the Facebook guy, and the tips, I read them actually last night and I thought, geez, all of these are still pretty relevant.
Sure.
To Facebook now. Not much has actually changed. So what do you think Facebook's role in real estate marketing will be in the future?
Yeah, Facebook's had a bad 18 months. Let's be really clear about one thing. But guess what? The vast majority of consumers haven't noticed and don't care. that's the hard truth. If you're in the space, you see the news, you see the press, you see the articles, you see the media. But if you're just an average consumer, you don't really know or care who Mark Zuckerberg is or who Sheryl Sandberg is or what's happening with the political ad situation they got going on. Like, it's just not part of your everyday life. We like to assume that people are fixated on this stuff because we are, because we're marketers, we're salespeople, we're in the space. But the reality is they have their own problem. And they're generally using Facebook just to connect with their friends. I think about my mother. My mother is 60-something years old, 61 years old, 62 years old. Sorry, Mom. I don't know exactly how old you are. 62 years old. I'll have to fact-check that. We'll come back. We'll have a graphic on the bottom of the screen that will be like, Jimmy's mom is actually this old, so people will know.
27.
She might submit that. So my mom uses Facebook to stay connected with her friends. She doesn't care about all the things that are happening around there. So Facebook is still the internet. Facebook still accounts for the vast majority of internet traffic. It's where we log in every single day. It's just not popular. It's boring. It's unsexy, but it's still very much the way to reach people. Now, to take it one step further, you need to have a certain amount of your energy and resources, which is focusing on building the business of today, which is marketing, taking advantage of the tools you have today. And you have to kind of have your eye on the horizon and be thinking about what's coming next. And clearly, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube are what's here today. And then you might be looking at the landscape in the future and be looking at some of these more modern social media platforms like TikTok, as an example, which I don't even use, and might be thinking, well, this might be the next kind of like ground for me to sort of begin to sort of plant my flag in. Maybe, maybe not. You can experiment with these things, but you've got to experiment while still doing the fundamentals right. So if your audience is watching this video right now and they're trying to figure out, you know, what social media platform to use, if you haven't mastered Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube, and you haven't developed the content strategy, and you're not using email marketing, do not do anything else. Start there, master those platforms, and then begin to think about what's coming next. Because those platforms itself, like, you can build billion-dollar businesses on those platforms. You may not be able to do that with TikTok yet.
Yeah, absolutely. Are there any favorite tools that you're seeing agents using in the US at the moment? Like, any favorite marketing technology tools?
Sure, besides Curator?
Besides Curator. That's number one. Yeah.
Yes. So besides Curator, you know, I'll tell you what we use, tools that we like. So we like BuzzSumo. That's BuzzSumo.com. It helps analyze the best performing content from across the web, which can help inspire your marketing strategies. You know, fundamentally, I look at the tools that I get most of my education from. So I stay really connected to the marketing world through Twitter. People maybe underutilize Twitter or wrote Twitter off because consumers aren't really there. But from a business perspective, you can connect with some of the smartest, best, and brightest on Twitter. The last place for agents to sort of, you know, stay connected is Medium. Medium.com, run by one of the former executives at Twitter, is Ev Williams, is an incredible platform from some of the smartest people in the space, writing in-depth articles about marketing, sales, and technology. I'm a huge fan of Medium. So between BuzzSumo, using Twitter to stay connected, and Medium, those are sort of my three go-to spots.
And what about books? Obviously, we've talked a lot about exactly what to say, and sure, we'll have some links in the show notes. It's available on Amazon.com worldwide right now. So if you can't wait, you can get on there and buy it. What about any other books or resources that you think are amazing right now?
Well, as it relates to resources, I did want to do a quick plug for your audience because, you know, a lot of people are going to read the book, and I'll answer your question about books I like as well, but a lot of people are going to read the book and they're going to want to know where can they get some more information, how can they get some more additional training on the book. And if they go to the website, it's EWTS4RE.com. They can not only buy the book, but they can also buy the courses. And we're going to do a special promo for your audience, which we'll share afterwards, and people will be able to get access to it. But they can buy the course where we actually do the you know how we're doing role plays earlier?
Yeah.
We have 80-plus videos where we do a role play. It's really helpful for anyone who's tuning in to really embrace. So if you're looking to buy the book, but you also want to actually get some additional information about the course, if you go to EWTS4RE.com, you can get more information about the book there. To answer your original question about books I love, you know, I'm a fan of the classics. I love most of Seth Godin's books. I love Simon Sinek. I think Simon Sinek is one of my favorite authors. Robert Cialdini is someone who I really enjoy. Robert Cialdini writes a book like called Influence and Persuasion. So I'm a fan of sort of these psychology books, understanding human behavior. But if I were to say there is one business book that has stuck with me that I really recommend that everyone reads. It's got to be Simon Sinek. Simon Sinek's Start With Why is arguably one of the best business books written in the last 20 plus years. I read lots of books that are industry specific for advertising and marketing, but in terms of having a solid foundation that you can build on top of, Start With Why is a phenomenal book that every single person who's listening right now should read or listen to. And if you've read it before, I actually highly recommend that you re-listen to it or reread it, because your business and your life is in a different place today than it was when you originally read it. And you're going to probably pick up on some ideas that you can apply right away. So those are some of my favorite books. Certainly Simon Sinek is top of that list.
Yeah, I think you're right. Sometimes I'll read a book and then come back to it 6 months later and I'll think I don't remember that bit.
Yeah.
Just because my head's in a different space. It's amazing. And I do think too, in terms of the video course, I think to be a real estate agent today, this is my opinion, the real key to success is you need to be an Olympic athlete in communication. And so, and that means practicing and training like an Olympic athlete. And I think the more help that you can get in terms of being able to communicate your message better and understand somebody else's message better, I think the better.
Yeah.
So fantastic. Thank you very much for the offer. We'll accept that one and post that one in the show notes as well.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Jimmy, it's been great catching up with you. And I want to thank you firstly for sharing your knowledge with us this morning, because we've gone through a whole bunch of stuff and there's some really actionable things that people can take away from this, even if they don't go and buy the book, and I think that they should. But what is one thing that you would like to leave the audience with to remember out of this chat this morning?
Yeah, well, my advice to any entrepreneur, any real estate agent from wherever you're selling real estate in is, when you're running a business, I want you to all understand that it is going to be difficult. It's going to be challenging. You're going to have your ups and downs. And while you're experiencing those things, I need you to understand those are normal parts of the day for you. That is a normal experience. And oftentimes I find that we are too critical of our own selves, or we're too critical of the way we sound, the way we look, maybe the way that we operate our businesses. And the one thing I want everyone to understand, and something I've learned time and time again, is you need to focus on the things that you do really well. And you need to focus on the things that you can improve upon. And just focus on progress, because progress is such a great motivator. If you can sort of set realistic short-term goals for yourself, it can motivate you to really transform your business in a short amount of time. We hope the book is one small part of that. It helps you transform your sales process. For the audience that's listening right now, I need you to understand that if you're struggling with your business, and you're finding it difficult to stay up to date with all the changes, if you're running a team and you're not producing the level you want to produce, I want you to understand those feelings are normal. It's part of the practice. The great entrepreneurs are able to rise above it because they're able to focus on getting better every single day, not trying to just be perfect to the outside world. So I hope your audience takes away a lot from today's interview, and I was thrilled to be on today's podcast with you.
Yeah, fantastic advice, Jimmy Mackin. Thank you so much.
Very welcome.
To connect with all things Elite Agent, including the latest news, coaching, and features, subscribe at our website, eliteagent.com.